Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Today, our friend Kelly, our daughter Kelly, and she's sharing something that everybody should have a handle on. Tell them what it is, Kel.
Well, we're talking today about being free from fear, living free from the bondage of fear.
Yes.
And, you know, you talk about having a handle on it, but it's so easy to let slip that handle that you have on it. Because what you have to do is remain open to the Lord and let Him continually tell you, you let fear in right there. Because otherwise, as Dad talks about, fear tolerated is faith contaminated.
That's right.
And so we want to just, I mean, not that he's done a masterful job of bringing out fear, and the perfect love casts out fear. But we just want to dig into some kind of practical areas of living free from it.
That sounds good to me.
And not assuming. We don't want to ever assume that it's just gone. We don't need to think about that. We don't need to hear a message about that anymore. I had some experience with that this week, which is kind of one of the reasons I'm excited about. You know, when the Lord corrects you about something, it always makes you excited to share the love.
Well, we'll look forward to hearing about that experience.
Oh.
So welcome.
Well, thank you, Mama. You have lived a life free from fear, but we've all have opportunities to be in fear and not recognize it, because we can couch it in terms of concern. Well, I'm concerned about this.
Let's pray, and then we'll turn you on.
Yes, ma'am. I'm ready.
Father, thank you for the Word of God today. We thank you that we are free from fear, that we've been delivered from bondage in every way, because Jesus made us free, and it's ours for the receiving. Glory to God. We thank you for giving Kelly utterance today. Give us both revelation and understanding to share. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, Mom, too, jump in on this anytime, because you have such a wealth of freedom on the inside of you. And one thing that God has given us is the Holy Spirit to keep fear out.
That's right.
And the fruit of the Spirit. There's a lot of the fruit of the Spirit that enter in keeping the door shut, keeping the gate shut to fear. You know, the Word says perfect love casts out fear. And that has multiple meanings. Primarily, I believe, just knowing the love that God has for you. Knowing that we're His kid.
Well, when
knowing
you know
He's
the
already
truth, what does it do?
It sets you free.
That's it.
We're going to go free. And it does. It sets you free. And knowing what He promises you sets you free. Knowing the Word. So
knowing what you have, what belongs to you.
You have such a grounding in putting the Word in. So wherever you feel you have a... you're going to have a lot to add, I just feel like, these next few weeks.
Thank you very much.
So just to get started here with setting us up for what we want to talk about, I had the Lord say this to me, that business as usual is, it's not business as usual anymore in the body of Christ or in the world. We have come to a place in the ages. Honestly, I was going to talk this broadcast, Mom, about harvest time. It is harvest time. And I believe to get to that later on this year, but the Lord redirected me about that. But it is harvest time. The grace to remain unchanged, the grace to stay the same, the grace to just care about get up, get the kids ready, go to work, do your job, come home, feed the kids, put them to bed, or go to sports, you know, and focus on this, that, or the other on the weekend, enjoy yourself, go to sports. None of that stuff is bad, and it's everyday life. It reminds me of Martha. I mean, somebody needs to do some of those things, but Jesus, and we'll talk about that this week, Jesus had issue with how she was doing it and had issue with her concern and her worry more than what she was doing.
She was troubled.
She was troubled. And she was troubled because she wasn't looking at Jesus. And so we want to be free of the trouble and the cares and look at Jesus, because Mary could have, I'm sure, had all those concerns too. But He said she's chosen that thing. So this week we're going to choose
That's
to look at Jesus instead of be in fear.
We have a choice.
We do. And what's wonderful, which we're going to show this week, is when you look at Jesus, he's got all the answers.
Absolutely.
When you look at Jesus, you're going to know what to do.
He has the answers. He has the solutions.
Yes.
And he's share them with us.
He's so faithful.
He's
such a Savior. And you know, it's not just that you're looking at Jesus so you just forget about everything else. I mean, that is a bonus. But you look at Jesus, and while you're looking at him, and he's telling you what to do, and you do that, he's also able, because of your faith in him and your confidence in him, he's able to do what the Word says, make all that other stuff work out. The Holy Spirit is working, Romans 8 says. He makes all things work together for our good. And he does that while we're looking at him.
Praise God.
And that's not an automatic scripture there.
He is able to do exceedingly above all we can ask
or think.
That's right. What is it you don't get about that? That's big.
It is big. But somebody might ask, Mom, well, why am I not seeing that in my life? Well, for fear and worry and concern. And when you're looking at those issues or looking at those things, you're not looking at Jesus. So what he said to me was, business as usual is over. So the things that you could get away with maybe 6 years ago.
Well, you're supposed to grow up.
Well, you are, but the times, don't you agree that the times are coming to this place where the way is getting narrower and narrower and narrower as we get closer to Jesus coming back? It's exciting.
Praise God.
And, you know, I just keep sensing in my heart, Mom, that, and also through other people's prophecies and stuff, that there's such a grace to get it right now.
Sure.
There's such a grace. If you just put your attention on him, there's such a grace to get your life turned right side up and so many things fixed. Just whether you're believing for a loved one or believing for a job or believing for somehow your other financial areas to come in order or for your children, there's a grace for God to fix it. And all we have to do is put our eyes on him.
Amen.
So what I want to encourage you to do before we ever even get deeply into this is to, maybe you've been watching this ministry for years. Maybe you've already seen Dad preach this year about faith can move a mountain and love, perfect love casts out fear. And you've heard it and you think, oh, I've heard that. Well, you know, I have found that the things you've heard need to be heard again.
Oh, absolutely.
That when we repeat things, it's a good thing. It helps us. It helps you to hear it again because human beings have to hear things more than once. But aside from that, again, it's easy to assume, oh, I don't walk in fear. Let me tell you this story about what happened to me the other day. So I had this list of things that have been like really weighing on me. Jenny asked me the other day, she goes, Mom, are you okay? Well, I said, yeah, I'm okay. There's just a lot going on, a lot of stuff. And she goes, okay. Well, obviously, I wasn't being myself. And she asked me that again. Are you sure you're okay? Can I do something? And I'm like, yeah, honey, I'm fine. It's just a lot of stuff. I'm going to have my quiet time this afternoon to talk to the Lord. And so the other day, I had all day. Nobody was home. And I just spent time with the Lord. And so I had my list of things that were weighing on me. That's another word. Mm-hmm. That means you're carrying it if it's weighing on you. So I had my list. I'm ready to take to the Lord. And before I could ever even pray, Mom, and I actually, you know, just was there worshiping the Lord first. And I do find when you're really a worshiper, you're being merry. When you're worshiping, you're just looking at his face. You're not thinking about the other things. Otherwise, it's not worship. But if you're just looking at him and worshiping him like that, he can speak to you in really a clear way. So he just suddenly interrupted my worship and he said, you have fear. You are fearful about a lot of things. He really said, I wasn't even thinking about it at the time, but he really said to me what he said to Martha.
Yeah.
You're troubled and concerned about a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And she thought she just had one problem and it's her sister. It's her sister's not helping me. Make her help me. Don't you care if she's not helping me? And Martha, Martha, you're troubled about a lot of stuff. And we will talk about that later. But that's what he said to me. Kelly, you're troubled about a lot of stuff. You're worried about a lot of stuff. But the words he used was, you have a lot of fear. And he started listing them for me. And then we got down to the end. I mean, it was everything from financial stuff to work to, you know, what ministry to my time to my six-year-old to, you know, everything. People at work, situations, da-da-da. And then the last one was a zinger to me because I knew those others were on my list of things I had carried the weight. Only I wasn't thinking about carrying the care. I just thought, well, I have a lot of things weighing me down. I don't know why we can rephrase it and think it's okay.
It's
now.
Okay. Good point.
A concern. It's just a concern. But the last one, I didn't know. I didn't even realize I was in fear over it. And one of my points here is to let Jesus diagnose your fear, which we're going to talk about as we talk about Mary and Martha. But you let him diagnose that. You have to open your heart up to him. That didn't just come in the middle of your fearfulness. You know, I guess, I don't know, Mom. If I hadn't stopped and just had some time with him, it's really critical. To be free from fear, you need to have time with the Lord.
Listen.
But so the last one was, you're afraid. And see, that was like, what? Because we don't tolerate fear. I don't tolerate fear in my life. I've had too much experience with how fear will cause you to lose. And fear, not tolerating it and casting it out and standing in faith will cause you to win. And we had that experience with Lindsay. You've heard that testimony a lot of times. Maybe I'll get to share it today or tomorrow. But casting and rebuking out fear is key.
You can't be in fear and faith at the same time.
They fill up the same space.
You have to choose one or the other. If you do not make a choice, a choice will be made for you.
That's true. And the natural way of the world is fear.
And it won't be good.
In concern, because you have to on purpose choose to look at Jesus. That's faith. But what she's saying, I mean, you know, this is filled with coffee right now, but fear and faith take up this same space in your heart. And where you have faith, where you have fear is where you can't have faith. And so to try to operate in the blessings of the Lord and the Word, and you've got fear in there, it won't work. And for a believer that's looking at the Word and we're praying the prayer and we're, you know, standing for God's ways, for His healing, finances, family, whatever, and it doesn't work, it can be, you know, it can be frustrating. The Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. But sometimes it's these hidden places. So just getting before the Lord, make sure when you're believing God for something that you're also before the Lord, that you need it to be not just, it needs to not be about what you're saying. Yes, we say what we're believing for. Yes, we say what the Word says. Yes, we say things that are not as though they were. But if you try to separate that from Jesus, and from your relationship with Him, and from the fact that if somebody's going to get healed, it's going to be because He did it. If somebody's going to get blessed financially, it's going to be because He did it. If somebody gets their kids saved, it's because the Lord of the harvest sent laborers in the field. And keeping that in mind keeps you before Him, not just making confessions that are not empowered by His presence. So when you make a confession of faith in Him, you got to be looking at Him. And when you're doing that, He can pinpoint areas that are stopping you, whether it's your love walk, whether it's fear in. And I suspect that if we got fear, then we got a lack of love somewhere in there too, because perfect love casts out fear. So when we're determined to live this life free from fear, I'm going to live free from fear. You got to constantly have your Savior talking to you about what's going on in your heart. And we've talked a lot this year and last year about what's going on in your heart. It wouldn't hurt to go back and listen to some of those things. But we've also talked about correction. Psalm 19:12. I've read it the last several times I've been on the broadcast. So, real quick, let's turn over there, because I believe if we'll make this decision right now with our heart and putting our heart before Jesus and being like Mary and sitting at His feet looking at Him to help us, that we will find the rest of the things that we talk about, being free from fear, will have greater weight in our heart because Jesus can talk to us. So Psalm 19:12 says, how can I know all the sins lurking in my heart or hiding? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. And that word fault is not like, that's your fault, that's your fault. You know, like a two-year-old, that's his fault. It means weak place. Cleanse me from these hidden weak places where sin is hiding, where something's hiding in my heart and I don't know it. It's a weakness that you're not aware of. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. So we can open our hearts today to the Lord and not assume there's no fear. But like I was just sitting there, and here's what the Lord told me that really got me, Mom. He said, you're afraid for Jenny. Now, I didn't think I was afraid for Jenny. I mean, as a mom, I've lived through things with my kids. I've lived through them being...
Well, Jenny is a bold child. She travels the world by herself. She does whatever she feels the Lord wants her to do. Jenny doesn't have any fear.
She doesn't, and I'm thrilled. And I don't either, because I'm free from it.
Yes, amen.
But when he said that to me, it really surprised me. You know, she... the Lord healed her body when she was in a car wreck, when she was 18 months old, and they said she was going to die.
Yeah.
And He totally restored her life.
She was in a cast for...
She was in a cast. He healed her body from that. He's delivered her at every turn. He's led her and guided her. And there were moments, you know, I'm not even going to say
Jenny
years ago.
Wasn't Jenny actually thrown from the car as a, what, 18 months?
18 months.
It was a miracle.
Broken bones, but she lived. They said she was going to die, but she lived.
She lived, praise God.
And that was a quick miracle.
Yeah, it was.
And He was faithful to her. And I don't even know that me personally, I felt ready for that kind of a challenge. We're going to talk in the next 2 weeks about challenges that come suddenly, because those can bring fear with them. But so He's delivered her. He saved her. He's freed her. He set her on a course, set her on a path. She's started orphanage in Greece, Abba House, Thessaloniki, so powerful. She's done so much for the Lord. And she's gone back now. She left last night to a country, which I'm trying to think where she'll be when these air. Anyway, she's gone to a country that is... in the natural, one of the most unsafe countries in the Middle East. And I knew I had to get rid of fear. Yeah. I knew I had to tackle that. And I came at it and all good. It's all driven out. So this time I didn't think that. I thought, well, I don't have fear over that. I didn't even think about it, actually, because I already dealt with that.
Yeah.
But when he said, he diagnosed, he said, you have fear. I'm like, what? Absolutely not. I will not tolerate fear. I wasn't saying no to him. I was saying no to me. Mm-hmm. I refuse to fear. When Lindsay was sick and in the hospital, maybe I'll tell you that story tomorrow, that came out of my heart. I refuse to fear.
Yeah, I remember that.
And you know, Mom, I've had people say to me, you know, I heard you say that. And then when that happened to me, and one person, it was exactly the same sickness that Lindsay had. It was meningitis. They said, I had just heard that, and I lay hold of that, and I said that, and I walked through it just like you did, and my child was healed. And when I was praying the last 2 days over this broadcast, I had a word of the Lord that somebody is going to be watching, maybe more than one, but the Lord said somebody's going to be watching and learning something about fear, and then very shortly, it's going to save their life.
Praise
It's going to make a difference, save their child's life. He wasn't clear to me about how that was going to happen, but and maybe because there's more than one. But lay hold of these things. Fear connects you to Satan's desire for you the same way that faith connects you to God's desire
to you. That's exactly
right. And fear is the open door to Satan. Satan would love to stop my child, and he would love to have what I was fearing come upon me and hurt her somehow in that country. But he's done. And the reason he's done is because I was in a place, I was in a position for the Lord to tell me I had something going on I needed to get rid of. You know, and if we have pride or, oh no, I dealt with fear, we just brush it off instead of taking the time to take authority over fear or authority over that thing that Jesus tells you.
Don't tolerate it.
If we don't stop and do that, then Satan still has a hook in us.
What is it? Did you say this already? Fear tolerated is faith contaminated.
Faith contaminated.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good explanation of it.
It really is. And so this next week, we're going to be living free from fear. And when we come back, Mom, today, I'm love it if you prayed a prayer of authority over fear, taking authority over fear for people, and let them pray that with us. Because tomorrow we're going to get into some things in Hebrews and some things that the Word says about fear. This is going to be a good week.
Good. I know it is.
We're going to shine the light on a weapon of the devil and kick him out.
Amen. That's going to be good, Kelly. Well, don't miss it. And if you can let your kids know about watching it, they need to know about how to deal with fear. Your family needs to know. Fear opens the door to the devil. Faith shuts the door. And that's what we want. Kelly's back. She's got more good news for us today. So get your Bible, and we're going to hear something good.
Amen.
Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you, Heather.
Preaching and teaching this day.
Well, you know, we love the Word, and we love sharing it.
We love it.
I just happened to catch a scripture here. I wasn't planning on reading this, but it says that Jesus is saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people. And it really just had not occurred to me until just a second ago that that's what we do. I mean, he does the same thing that we do. He proclaims the name of the Lord and praises him to his brothers and sisters. And so it's an honor to do what Jesus does.
Praise
what would Jesus do? He would do what we're about to do right now.
Proclaim God's Word.
Proclaim His Word. Proclaim His goodness. Proclaim our freedom. We're talking this week and next week about living free from fear. Living a life free from fear. And that's not a one-time thing that you do and then you're just done with fear. Fear is Satan's doorway to your life. He's a liar. His weapon is fear. If he can get you to fear it, he can have more opportunity to bring it into your life.
If he can get you in fear, your face automatically neutralized. We don't want that. And what has he come to do? Do us good for us? No, he's come to kill, steal, and destroy. We don't give him any place. In Jesus' name, amen?
Amen. Yesterday you took authority over fear, and we are standing on that prayer still.
Yes.
We take authority over it. Yesterday we talked about letting the Lord diagnose you. We're going to talk about that some more, but later in the week. But letting Him tell you, hey, you've got fear there. I started telling about God diagnosed me with some fear. And this week, 2 days ago, let's be real honest. And it's okay. I mean, it's okay. It's not okay to have fear, but it's okay for...
You got to deal with it.
We have to deal with it and to pretend that as though somehow we get to this place where we're immune to fear is the day that we start letting it in because we're not paying attention. We have to pay attention.
Right.
We don't let stuff sneak in. You know, even in in the Word, when it talks about the parable of the wheat and the tares, it says where... where Jesus planted a wheat, the enemy came in secretly, it says, and planted a weed.
Yeah.
So we have to be aware of that. If it was if it wasn't secret, it wouldn't be secret. I don't know. Does that make sense? I mean, Jesus is the one that said that.
This might be scary, but I understood it.
Well, good. give me a fist right there, Mama. Because it's we have to be aware of the enemy's devices. And everywhere in the Word, and especially when the Lord starts talking about the end times, He says, you need to pay attention. You need to be alert. You need to be aware. So just thinking, oh, I've done that. I don't need to hear this. No, we need to always be open to the Lord's correction. And right now, He's bringing correction like never before. And people may think, man, is my life, what is up? It just seems like so much is, I'm getting, needing so much correction. Well, I don't, it may or may not be that you've gotten worse. If you're after the Lord, you probably haven't gotten worse.
One thing it helps to remember is you cannot be in fear and faith at the same time.
That's right.
And if you're not in faith, you're not in the supernatural. You're living a natural, carnal, just help yourself devil life. But we don't have fear. We have faith. We choose faith. You and I, Kelly, all of us, we choose faith. We choose to believe God and not to fear. And we take authority over fear. Amen?
Amen. And as you practice these things, it gets easier.
Oh, it becomes a natural way of life too.
And even
not the doubt.
That's right. And even as you practice these things, you recognize, you're more open to the Lord to recognize fear. Mm-hmm. But if you don't choose before the Lord to be corrected in these things, you can just assume, no, I'm good. I was at church. I listened to my faith message this week. I listened to Gloria Copeland's podcast. It's good, but you have to always be before the Father for Him to diagnose you. And so I was doing that. I was worshiping the Lord the other day. My last Saturday, nobody was home. You know, I have 5 kids, and they're all over the place. But there were no grandkids there. My 6-year-old was gone. Nobody was there. I was just by myself. So I spent the whole day just really before the Lord and just worship, spending time with Him. I got a new porch swing. I was trying that one out. I like that. And so I just had a great day with Him. But there was just a lot of stuff felt like it was weighing me down. We talked yesterday. Even I could diagnose this one. If you feel weighed down, you're carrying the care.
Yeah, that's right.
And if you feel weighed down or you have concerns, it's just another way to put fear. It's just another word for fear.
Yeah,
so
true.
Make sure that you don't gloss over it with a different word. If the Lord diagnoses you, call it what it is and then get rid of it. Rebuke fear, because
Amen.
The Lord told us to stand against fear. Because when we have fear, He can't help us.
Fear tolerated
is faith.
Contaminated.
And it weakens your faith, and your faith will not work. And if
that.
You're not aware of it, then you don't know why your faith's not working. And it can lead you to think, well, you know, God must not want me to have this, or Satan will lead you down that road, or lead you down the road of, you know, well, God's just not hearing your prayer, or you're so in sin that God can't love you, or blah, blah, blah. He's such a liar. Because of fear, though, is the open door to all those lies. So that's kind of where I want to go off today. Yeah. Is in Hebrews, it talks about that. I've got the Gloria Copeland method of version after version after version for you today, because we are going to get this. Amen?
Amen.
So let's look at Hebrews chapter 2. And there's a couple of great verses that I want to read, and then we want to get to verse 15. But Hebrews 2... 1 and 2 says, so we must listen very carefully to the truth we've heard. That's a good word for today.
Hebrews what?
2, verse 1 and 2. Or we may drift away from it. So if you don't listen carefully, if you don't grasp carefully, then you can drift away. And drift away means you don't notice that you're going far away. Have you ever drifted away from the dock? On a float, or been in a boat and drifted away from the shore? It's easy when you get into a current that takes you somewhere. And you know, the current of the world and the current of your lives, it would like to take you away
yeah.
from what you know.
Now, is that Hebrews 1 you just read?
No, that was Hebrews 2,
2 1.
Verse 1.
Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip.
Slip.
We can't let our faith slip, our word slip, our determination slip, the things we believe in God for. We can't let it slip. We can't talk it away. If you believe in God for something and you believe you've received it, which is what the Bible says, then you stay with that. And when the devil says you're not going to get your healing, you know you already got it. You got it from the Word of God, and I'm staying with it in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Don't quit.
It's crucial.
Yeah.
The Passion Translation?
Life depends on it.
It does. And sometimes has in our lives. I mean, I think sometimes people think, well, they're in the ministry. Things go great for them. You know, we've had some
you think the
strong
devil
battles.
Said, you think the devil says, oh, they're in the ministry. I just won't bother with them.
They're too strong for me. I tell you, we're going to get to the point where he like
we
runs
just don't
away.
Give him any place.
And he feels like we're too
Amen.
Strong for us, for him. The Passion said, this is why it's so crucial that we be all the more engaged and attentive to the truths
yes.
that we have heard so we do not drift off mm-hmm. course. For if the message of the law spoken and confirmed by angels brought a penalty to every disobedient violation, how should we expect to escape punishment if we despise the very truths that give us life? When it says punishment, how are we supposed to escape, you know, the
you
snare of the
curse,
enemy, the curse?
That's out there.
Without paying attention to the salvation that he provided for us. This says the message God delivered through angels has always stood firm.
That's right.
This word will stand firm. It's this stuff out here is not firm. And if we're standing on this stuff out here and the stuff that goes on, we're not firm. That's the story of the man that built his house on the rock.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, when you build your house on a sand moves, sand shifts. So what do you have your house built on? If you're looking at circumstances, those bring fear, and it puts your house at risk.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're standing on this that does not change, it remains faithful, God remains true,
yes,
Jesus remains true to you. And even when we miss it, if you're looking at Him, He'll get you corrected. If we're standing in faith, looking mm-hmm. at Jesus, allowing Him to talk to us, worshiping Him, He will get us. It may take a while sometimes, but He'll get it across to us. Like he did to me this weekend. He said, you've got a lot of fear. And I had no idea. I thought I just had concerns.
Yeah.
And one of them was Jenny leaving to go to the Middle East, to very, in the natural, unsafe country. And I didn't realize I was in fear. I was just going along because I'd already dealt with that. I'd already quoted about that. I'd already prayed yeah. about it. Prayed for her.
Oh, fast.
But I realized that even over her trip this time, the prayers that I prayed, my faith was not as engaged as I thought it was because I had fear and I didn't know it. But boy, when I took authority over fear and got it out, the next time when I was with Jenny the next day and I started to talk to her about something, about her trip, and I mean the word of the Lord started coming about angels and protection, and I mean there was a fiery purpose. Actually, I think I prayed for her on our way to the airport, and it just came out.
Amen.
That's what happened when Lindsay was in the hospital, Mom. Lindsay was in the hospital. They said she had meningitis. You probably heard the story. I'll make it short. But she was totally out of it,
mm-hmm.
and lots of kids had died from meningitis, and the second the doctor said the word, meningitis, and they had taken her, done a spinal tap on her, I just felt that I felt like incapacitated. And I turned around and left that room and walked into the hallway. I'm sure the doctor thought, what is wrong with that woman? But I just turned around, left her in there, walked into the hallway, and it's like all the word that was in me for healing and freedom and deliverance, it was all in there. but I was not being able to pull any of it up. I just felt bound up. And I literally felt like if you put a vise around somebody and grabbed them and couldn't move your arms. Mm-hmm. And my sister walked up to me and she said, "What is it?" And I said, I didn't even answer her. Sometimes, man, being in good company is really helpful.
Yeah.
I said, "I refuse to fear." And all of a sudden, it was like this, the bonds that were on me were gone.
Chains.
And it was like that thing just left, like it was very weak. When all it took was that declaration of refusal, I made a choice. I chose, when Jesus said to Mary, to Martha, that Mary had chosen that good thing, the thing that would be to her advantage, I chose to refuse that. And I mean, all of a sudden, out of my belly starts, I'm like, I don't even remember what all I rattled off to my sister, but it was coming out of me. Yeah. I said, "There's blood between me and Jesus over Lindsay. She's healed by his stripes, blah, 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 blah. She'll live and not die." You know, the things you know you want to say when the time is needful, I had to refuse fear for those things to come out. So I was in bondage until I refused to have the fear. And so that's talked about here in Hebrews. So it says in, I just want to point out, because all the time that we're talking about fear, I want us to keep a good handle on Jesus, because he's the one that defeated fear. And as we're talking, and I'm talking about being free from fear, I'm talking about the only real way to be free from fear is to keep your eyes on him. And to realize his salvation.
Yes.
And to believe in his salvation.
Be full of faith.
Believe in him. It means you don't even have to have all the right answers at any moment. We're going to see that in the next 2 weeks. You don't even have to have all the right answers. If you're looking at him, he'll give them to you. That's it. That's what he is. That's who he is. But I just love when this point proves that. So I want to read this. It says in verse 9
of what?
Of Hebrews 2:9, it says, "By God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. Mm-hmm. And it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader." A perfect leader. I just wanted to bring that out. He's a perfect leader. Like he led me just this week with that, pointing out that fear I had. He led me through it like he did with Lindsay. He led me through that place to what I needed to say, needed to do. He gave me the words and we got through it. She was healed just within 24 hours.
Praise
no, within 12 hours, she was free. Isn't that good?
It is awesome.
And that was a miracle.
So grateful.
Oh, I am. It says, a perfect leader. We should put this on our mirror. He's a perfect leader fit to bring me into my salvation.
Praise God.
And that doesn't just accepting him as your Lord and Savior. That's just saying, okay, I'll follow you, Jesus. Yeah. That's just getting yourself in line. Sometimes we think salvation, that was the day I got saved.
It is salvation from sin. It is salvation from different things. But it's salvation from the curse, too. The poverty, sickness, disease.
Salvation encompasses,
that Jesus got for us, encompasses everything good and dumps everything bad.
Everything.
Praise God.
You did a series that I just remember. I didn't even listen to it in a long time. I need to go back and listen to it. Called So Great Salvation.
Yeah.
Whew.
Amen.
Man.
It is a great salvation.
Just, when you get saved, the day you get saved, you position him to lead you through to your salvation every day for the rest of your life.
That's right. Now you have to pay attention.
You do.
I mean, he's going to be talking to you. You have to keep the word going in your eyes and your ears, where it gets into your heart and faith is there. And then you pay attention to what you're hearing in your spirit and what the written word says, and you'll be safe.
You do the do's.
Yep, that's right.
That your leader tells you.
That's right.
You know, following the leader.
Praise
that's what
God.
The life with God is all about. And it's certainly what a life of freedom in Him, freedom from fear, freedom from sickness.
You don't have to be afraid of anything.
Oh, and we don't because we have somebody to follow. And it says He's the perfect leader. This is in the New Living. Fit to bring them into their salvation. So now Jesus and the ones He makes holy, that is us. We have the same Father. And that is why Jesus is not ashamed to call you and I His brothers and sisters, His equal. We have the same Father. And Jesus leads us through everything. Jesus speaks to us the words
Praise
of the Father.
God.
We have a Father who loves us. That's one reason not to be afraid.
Sure.
You have a Father who loves you. Knowing that love casts out fear because He loves you. And He sent Jesus. He sent His Son, Jesus. Jesus did everything
yes, he did.
That it requires
Praise
to
God.
Save us. I want to read this note in my Bible. It's the Spirit-Filled Life Bible. It says, the author emphasizes the genuine humanity of Jesus. The path that He trod as the suffering Redeemer was right. For by this, Jesus was made perfect. This doesn't mean that Jesus had moral shortcomings, but that He became perfect or complete as a Savior. Because of the temptation, He became perfect as a Savior. And by suffering temptation and death, He qualified as our leader who's gone ahead of us to open the way of salvation.
Praise
I don't know. I just really feel like somebody today needed to hear that. As we're talking about being free from fear, there's a reason we can be free from
That's
fear.
That's right.
It's because of Jesus and keeping your eyes on Him. And He'll
and
tell
he
you what
the
to
curse
do and say.
For us, and every bad thing there is under the curse.
Every bad
so
thing.
So you took care of everything.
Everything.
Now all we have to do is receive Him and do what He says, and He'll take care of everything in our lives.
Mom, there's a worship song that I love that says, for every fear, there's an empty tomb.
That's
Isn't that good?
Good?
There's
yeah.
no fear
That's right.
that wasn't taken care of.
That's right.
And it says in verse 14, because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. You know, the same kind of flesh and blood that could be hurt is mine and your flesh and blood. For only as a human being could He die, and only by dying could He break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in this way could He set free all who had lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying.
He took the curse for us. He took it, the whole curse. Everything, if you look at Deuteronomy 28 under the curse, every bad thing's under that curse. Jesus bore it for me, and He bore it for you, and He bore it for Kelly. He took it. Now what we do is receive Him, and we're free.
That's right.
Do what He says, we stay free. Glory to God.
And this said, because of what He went through, He's able to help us when we're going through
That's
anything.
Right.
There's not anything that you might be going through, might go through in the future, or might have gone through
That's
that
right.
He did not take care of.
Praise.
So there's no reason to fear when you look at your leader. It Amen. Says in Hebrews 2, these scriptures we just read in the Amplified, this is the Amplified Classic. There's two Amplifieds now. We just get more versions and more versions. I love it. But the Amplified Classic, that's probably the one sitting on your coffee table. It says, since therefore these His children share in flesh and blood in the physical nature of human beings, He Himself in a similar manner partook of the same nature, that by going through death He might bring to naught or to nothing and make of no effect Him who had the power of death. I love what Dad says. He is a big zero.
That's
Satan
right.
is a big zero. The devil who's trying to make you afraid is a big zero. I'm out of time.
Yeah, you are.
I'm out of zero time.
Yeah, you are.
So we will pick this up tomorrow, but don't go away.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Kelly's back with us today, and she's got more good word for us. The more we hear of the Word, the more it goes in our eyes, in our ears, gets in our heart, the freer we become. I like to be free. Hallelujah. Welcome, Amen. Kelly.
Thank you, Mother. Yesterday, we were talking about Hebrews 2, and about being free from fear. We're talking this week and next week about being free from fear and about letting the Lord diagnose you from fears that you're not aware of. And primarily over these next 2 weeks, as we talk about freedom from fear, living free from fear, living a life free from fear, it takes some certain decisions. And mostly what it takes is a decision to look to Jesus, to put yourself in a place where He can point things out, where He can diagnose you, where He can say, get rid of that right there. Even there may be things you may think are unconnected to fear. I'm just really led to bounce into this, and then we'll come back to Hebrews 2, but I'm going to take this little rabbit trail. There was the Lord talked to me recently about forgiving somebody, and I really didn't think I had unforgiveness in my heart about them. Let me back up just a second. He was talking to me about apologizing to this person. I didn't think I owed them an apology, but the Lord did. And He began talking to me about apologizing for this thing. I was like, Lord, seriously, that is so minor compared to what that person did to me. And that's a natural way to think. You just like, that's like, that's so little compared to what they did to me. And the Lord, you know, I think sometimes when you say stuff like that to Him, it's just crickets, nothing, no sound coming back from Him. But on this day, He really helped me to process through that. And it was like, that's true if you have a scale. If you have a scale in your life, I did this, wasn't very big. This person did this, makes light of what I did. And I saw that I had this thing that I needed to apologize for on the scale. Didn't look like much to me, but if you get rid of the scale, which is what the Lord said, get rid of your scale. And that leaves you just with a plate full of something Jesus said you need to get rid of. Well, when He diagnoses you with something like that, you need to take that and you need to do what He said. Get it off. Get it out. He wasn't concerned about, I mean, I'm sure He's concerned about the other person too, but He was doing that. That was for me. That He was getting something off my plate. Yeah. So I did that. I called the person. I apologized. I'm sure it surprised him. And honestly, there were several people that He had me do that with over different things, which I'm so grateful now, because those would have just sat in my heart forever, undiagnosed by my Savior. But He saved me from not only my sin, but myself. And so I called this person and I repented and I apologized, said that wasn't right, you know. And it surprised him. But that moment made a turning point in some things for me. And I didn't realize it until looking back that I had some fear about some things that were totally attached to that. That seems so small, honestly, if you boiled it down, I was late for something, but my heart in it was about something else that the Lord helped me to see. So you might think, well, being late, I mean, you say, hey, I'm sorry I'm late, and then you're done. But for me, there was something in my heart beyond that that even led me to be late that day. So when I apologized, when I repented, if I look back, there's some things now that I look back and I realize I had some fear over, and it's not there anymore.
Praise God.
It's just not there. And even the things that were like causing me, the circumstances that were causing me to be concerned, I'm sure I never thought I was fearful about it, but concerned about something, those circumstances are not there anymore.
Praise God.
And if I track it back, I can track it back to that apology and that repentance that the Lord put in front of me to make. And so even though when I started talking about, you know, repentance or asking somebody to forgive you, you might have thought, well, where's she going with that? That's not about being free from fear, but it was. I didn't know it. You didn't know it when I started telling the story. But Jesus knows the root of every fear. And if you allow Him to be your Savior, yesterday we talked about He's our Savior. He's your everyday Savior. He's the one that keeps that stuff from storing up in your heart
Thank God.
Helps you to get rid, you know, get rid of it day by day. Get rid of the things that are old. He can help you find and diagnose things that are as old as you are, you know. I am 53 years old, and I had something happen to me when I was 3, and no one but the Lord could have shown me. But when He did, I got free. Free of fear that I didn't know I had.
Yeah.
So many of those things are rooted very deeply, but it's so easy for Him because the Bible says He knows you inside and out. Psalm 139 says He knows everything about you.
It says He knows every word.
Every word. Before you even open your mouth, He knows what's thinking about coming out. He knows your heart. Other people, they don't know what you're thinking about, and aren't we glad? But He knows every word. And He knows how to get to the bottom of everything in there. And so just opening your heart up to Him takes the pressure off.
Amen.
To be perfect.
Puts you in better hands.
It does. So yesterday we were reading about how perfect He is. And in Hebrews 2, in verse 10, we were seeing that it says, my Bible said He qualified as our perfect leader because He went before us. I have this in the Passion translation. It calls Him, it says in verse 10, it is the beauty of God who created all things for His glory to make the pioneer of our salvation. Isn't that good?
Yeah,
He pioneered. He went there first.
He surely did.
He went to hell so that He could come back risen and be able to
He paid the price for us.
Everything.
Yeah.
The price. It says, this is how He brings His many sons and daughters to share in His glory. This says that He leads us. He's the perfect leader to fit, to bring us to our salvation. So we have nothing to fear. He's already been through it all. And that's why it talks about in verse 14, it says that He only by dying could He break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Satan had the power of death. Jesus broke that and took it away from him. And the Bible says He gave those keys to us. He gave us authority over death in His name. Only in this way could He set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Now I want to read that in a couple of versions here. This is where we left off. It says He did this so that He could experience death, listen to this, Mom, and annihilate the effects of the intimidating accuser. That is Satan. He's the one that feeds fear. He's the one that feeds worry.
Because
he's the one
that
fears
place.
Things of thought. Right.
That's what he wants. He wants to be somebody. He wants place.
He wants to be Lord over our lives like He became Lord over Eve's life.
Yeah.
So He fed her a fear that she wouldn't have what she deserved or wouldn't have.
Yeah.
I mean, fear, I've listed some fears I'm going to read in a minute, and there are many more. But as we mention one or as the Lord brings one up in your heart, write it down so you can take authority and see what He has to say. If it comes up in you, that's something you deal with. But for Eve, it was fear that you're going to miss out on something. Fear that God is withholding. Fear that you're not getting what you deserve. Satan came in with that lie. Honestly, the basis of that lie is fear that you're abandoned. You could look at all these, and they are based on fear of being abandoned. Well, the Word says we're not abandoned. Even in a hard time, 2 Corinthians 4 says, we are not ever abandoned by God. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
We are never abandoned. But Satan certainly would like to lie to us and tell us that we are. But we're not, and he's a liar. This says, He came to annihilate the effects of the intimidating accuser who holds against us the power of death. By embracing death, Jesus sets free those who live their entire lives in bondage to the tormenting dread of death. It says in verse 18, He suffered and endured every test and temptation, so He can help us every time we pass through the ordeals of life. This says in the notes that the Aramaic could be translated, so He would be the nurturing Lord of the king priests.
Praise God.
That's the verse before that. He made us brothers and sisters and became our merciful, faithful, and nurturing. What does nurturing mean, Mom? But helping, leading, growing up. Mm-hmm. See, all of that is wrapped up in that verse. That's what He is here for us and to do. And as we look at Him, He will do that. He'll lead us through a time of trouble, as we know. He will lead us through growing up. He'll lead us out of stuff that were an attack of Satan. He'll lead us out of stuff that was a result of our own dumb choices. And he'll help us not make those choices.
Thank God.
He is. I had it in the Amplified. I wanted to read it out of there. Since, therefore, these His children share in flesh and blood, in the physical nature of human beings, He Himself, in a similar manner, partook of the same nature. He became flesh and blood. So that by going through death, He might bring to nothing. This is where we left off yesterday, I believe. Nothing. My dad says Satan is a big zero. He made of no effect Him who had the power of death. You know, Satan wants you to be afraid. He's a big zero. Just say that right now. Satan's a big zero.
Satan's a big zero.
Jesus is my perfect leader and Savior.
Jesus is my perfect leader and Savior.
And I have no fear.
And I have no fear.
But this says that He might deliver and completely set free all those who through the haunting fear of death were held in bondage throughout the whole course of their lives. So this tells us the bondage that we are in anything, in any day, any time, any moment, in any area, is because of the haunting fear.
The fear
haunts. The fear of death. It's the basis of every bondage. And if you have fear, you are in bondage. And when
that,
the Lord...
That they fear comes upon them, you know. That's why he opens the door. Fear, like faith closes the door to the devil, fear opens the door to the devil. We just can't do it. We just can't have fear and be free. Praise God.
You guys have had so many opportunities to have fear.
Well, everybody does.
Everybody does, but I don't think people really stop and think about it. I mean, everybody's so absorbed in their own fear that they forget that other people deal with things. But every time I've watched you and Dad resist fear, and when you resist fear, you get answers.
That's right.
When you resist the fear, you get the answer comes. And otherwise, you are held in bondage. And that word haunting, I looked it up, Mom. Mm-hmm. It says remaining in the consciousness.
Yeah, that's a good way to say that.
So when you have a fear, or even an old fear, you think, oh, I dealt with that. No, it can remain in the consciousness if you don't go to Jesus.
Have you ever heard the term, I had a nagging fear? That's what that describes
that. Haunting, nagging.
People say that.
So a haunting fear, you know, there are people that have fear of things and they might deal with that moment, but the basis of the fear is still in there. And Jesus will help you remove it.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Removing a splinter. He can help you remove the basis of it, like whether it's your kids. You know,
faith will remove fear. You believe God's word, and whatever it is, He tells you He bore your sicknesses and carried your diseases, then that removes, if you'll let it, it removes the fear of that sickness or disease.
That's right.
So that faith can do its thing. Hallelujah.
So when you read His word, if you believe it and you realize that His love, He came because of His love. God the Father sent Him to come and go through all this stuff and die on the cross for us and to pay the price so we don't have to have fear because of His love. He loves you that much.
Mm-hmm.
When you understand that, it allows you to receive what He said and choose to believe it.
Amen.
And faith, your faith will stand. But when you have these hidden fears that you don't deal with or you don't let Jesus help you to recognize, then you're thinking you're standing in your faith, but your answer can be delayed because of a hidden fear. But we have the Savior to show us what is hiding. Yeah. And when you see it, don't tolerate it. That's, again, we'll say it probably every day.
Is it the Amplified that, I think it is, it says the haunting fear of
death.
When you're haunted by something, it's nagging at you. It comes on you all the time. There's a lot of people like that that are bound by the haunting fear of death. And that opens the door to the devil. That's where that comes from. And so you can't have the haunting fear and faith in the same vessel.
And there's something connected, Mom, with your love walk as well. I think if you don't walk in love, let's kind of go down a road of what the effects are. If you don't walk in love, you're really resisting the love of God in you, right? If I don't walk in love with you, I'm resisting the love of God in me to forgive and to walk in love with you. But you can't resist it this way and not be resisting it this way. And even Jesus said, if you don't forgive, the Heavenly Father can't forgive you.
And then the bottom line is, I think we've already said it once, but faith, it says in the Bible, faith works by love. So if we're not walking in love, our faith is not working. What do we need to do in that case? We need to forgive. And the Bible just says, if you have aught against any, forgive. And then you go free. And besides that, you aren't hurting all those other people anyway. They just making yourself miserable for nothing.
And bringing an open door to Satan to bring the fear in that he needs to get a hook in you.
To get a place.
So if we, as we understand these sort of pieces of the puzzle, it makes a lot of sense. Because when I walk in love, I forgive you, or I walk in love with you, then I'm walking in love.
That's right.
That casts out fear, because not only am I walking in love with you, I am empowering his love in my life.
That's right.
And that casts out fear.
That's right. So there's no future in unforgiveness.
There's ways we let fear in too.
No good future, I should say. No good future in unforgiveness.
No. And it's a huge open door to fear.
Mm-hmm.
And you may not even recognize it. You might think, well, I'm not afraid. I climb mountains, or I'm not afraid. I go to dangerous countries. But then you're afraid over your finances.
So
we can't compartmentalize those in our life either. You can't say, well, I'm going to receive my healing because I have no fear that I'm not sick. But then you're riddled with fear over here. It's going to affect your healing because it's fear in there. And fear
and faith don't operate together.
They don't. And we'll say what Brother Copeland says. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. And this says that haunting remain in the consciousness, not quickly forgotten, reoccur persistently, disturb, distress, cause. I can't read my writing. What that says? I'm not missing my glasses. What I do with them? Cause something. I wrote really badly. Anxiety. Cause it looked like a city. Cause anxiety. Well, these things that see our consciousness, let's just talk about a practical thing. I'm just really prompted here from the Lord to talk about a practical thing here. But watching scary things. We let all that stuff in through our eyes, in our ears, in our mouth. If you say, that just scares me to death, you're just welcoming the fear. If you go subject yourself to scary movies, or you let your kids go to scary movies, mm-hmm. they just laugh it off when you leave. But you just watch something that made you go, and you invited fear into your life. And it says it remains haunting. It means it remains in your consciousness. So in every way you can, certainly shut those easy doors to fear getting in, and just say no to that stuff, because Satan is all about having that hook in you.
Yeah.
So this says that haunting fear is what puts people in bondage.
Fear and faith do not live together. So you got to get rid of, dump the fear, take the faith.
The faith in Jesus, putting your faith on Jesus will set you free. But fear keeps you in bondage.
Now, you know, and also you remember it's very clear what the Bible says to do with faith. Cast fear out. I mean, what to do with fear. Cast out the fear. Cast it out. Don't tolerate it. Don't put up with it. Get rid of it. Rebuke it. Call it by its name. Command it to go in the name of Jesus. You know, we have to take authority. Jesus has given us his name. We have authority. And it's up to us and our responsibility. Take it.
Take it. And Amen. Cast out the fear of it. So I'm just going to name a couple of fears here, and then we'll close the broadcast for today, and we'll pick it up tomorrow. Fear of failure. Ooh. Fear of the past. Fear that it's going to affect your future. Fear of the past being found out. Fear of exposure.
Right. Yeah.
Fear for kids. Fear of the future. Fear of for your kids is a huge place. You may not be fearful about yourself, but you're fearful for your kids, which is in turn fearful for yourself because of how that would feel if something happened to your kids. Fear that things won't change. Fear of missing the mark. Fear of being mistreated. We're going to start with that one tomorrow. Fear of being mistreated.
Okay. Praise God. 15 seconds. You got 15
I got 15 seconds.
Fear of running out of time.
Fear of running out of time.
Okay,
bondage. Let me tell you what bondage is. Being bound by or subjected to some external power or control.
Amen. Glory to
Not
God.
Gonna do it.
We take our freedom in Jesus' name. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Kelly Copeland's back with us today with more good things from the Word of God. Don't you enjoy finding out what God says in His Word? It's all good. It's good for you. It's good for me. It's good for Kelly.
Amen.
Amen. Praise
Amen.
God. What are we doing today, Kel?
Well, we're still talking about this week and next. We're just talking about living a life that's free from fear.
That sounds
It's an appropriate subject for,
yes.
you know, any day. But we are independent. We've been made independent by Jesus. He did what it took to release us from the bondage of fear.
That's right.
We read in Hebrews 2 yesterday, you know, I have this Bible. It's one of my older Bibles. I don't care. It's all torn up, but it's got good notes in it. I just like having to change them, don't you? But in that Bible I wrote, Dad had said this one time under Hebrews 12, I wrote, never let the devil see you sweat. Because it talked about that it was because of the haunting fear of death that people were all their lives subject to
That's
bondage.
Right.
You know, under the control of the enemy, under the control
fear.
Of what he
fear.
Wanted for
yeah.
you, not what God wants for you. And it's faith that puts us under the control of what Jesus wants for us.
That's right.
But fear puts you under control of what Satan wants for you. You know, it's very much the key to life. Or death. It's very much
That's
the
good.
Key. You choose yeah. to walk in fear, you open the door to the
mm-hmm.
devil. So we've talked about this already through this week, and you can go back to kcm.org and catch up with us if you haven't, if you're behind. But it's been fun talking about it because really it's very revealing when you start thinking about your subjecting your life to Jesus for him to diagnose you. And I want to kind of talk about that today. We've talked about that some, but I want to talk some more about letting him diagnose you, you know.
That's good.
We read in Hebrews 2, he became our perfect leader because he went through the temptations and all the things that we go through yet without sin. And that's not for him to say, I'm good and you're not. He has made himself and his words and his wisdom, and beyond that, his power available to us to walk the same road, to walk through yep. things and come out as though it were him walking through it, because he walks through it with us. And if we listen to him, we'll come out just like he would. You know, when people were attacking him and people were after him, he just disappeared.
Yeah, where did
like,
he go?
I mean, we can just... We have the, you know, faith for his deliverance, and that's what it takes, and he'll make us disappear. You know, this we're talking to the kids this summer at convention about being invisible, using your faith. So I know those may not seem to connect, but Jesus used his faith to become invisible. And we can be, when we're walking in faith, Satan can't get a hold of us. He doesn't have anything to lay hold of. When we give him the hook of fear and we hook into what he wants for us, when we hook into with faith, we hook into what God wants for us and his plan for us. And his plan is good, always good. You can count on it. You can count on the fact that his... I heard somebody say this the other day. Who was it? I think it was Michelle Bachman at our... We had a women's conference at Eagle Mountain in the spring. And she was talking about at a women's meeting, and she said, you know, I can just hear God saying, I know the plans I have for you. You know, as women, we don't like telling us what we think. And we can say, I know what I think. You don't have to tell me what I think. Anyway, she said, I can hear God saying, I know the plans I have for you. Stop telling me I don't want you healed. Stop telling me I don't want you free. Stop telling me that I don't want your kids set free. That guy just got me stirred up because... he knows the plans he has for us. And not only that, Mom, he put them in a book.
He did.
And he sent us a Savior to purchase it for us. So everything that needs to be done for us to be free is done.
That's right.
But our position in this
is our receiving.
We have to receive. And fear is the only tool. This is pretty impactful. Fear is the only tool that Satan has to keep you from receiving it. He uses fear to get you to sin. He uses fear to get you to not lay hold of the promises. He uses fear to not have you walk in love. And I want to talk today about, we mentioned some different fears yesterday, but today we want to talk about Mary and Martha and talk about the fear. I was thinking about them and what this fear was that Martha had. You could ascribe all kinds of words to it, but one thing that she was had was a fear of being mistreated. She's like, this is not fair. And you know, pretty much all of us have an opportunity to utter those words. You may be unfairly treated because of your age or the color of your skin. You may be unfairly treated because of you have not enough money. You feel like you're unfairly treated. You may actually be unfairly treated, but Jesus is the answer to that. And going to him without fear will get you your answers. Going to him, even if you have fear, go straight to him and let him clean you up. Let him show you what to do. Let him show you what to say. But I don't think Martha felt like she was in fear. You know, this morning I said something to Emily, my six-year-old, and I said, Emily Jean Ann, your middle name is Jean, and so that's part of her middle name and her other grandmother's middle name put together. But I said, Emily Jean Ann, and she wasn't in trouble. I just was saying, I don't even remember what I was saying, but she goes, that sounds like I'm in trouble. Emily Jean Ann. But, you know, in the Word, I've always said that when somebody says your first name and your middle name, it's like you are in trouble.
Like Gloria Jean.
Gloria Jean, or they used to say to me, Kelly D, you're in trouble if they use your first and middle name. But he repeats her first name. It's like, Martha, Martha. Like, you silly thing. When you say somebody's Gloria, Gloria, there's just such compassion I hear in his voice. He knows her name. He called her by name, and he called her out on what she was dealing with. And that's where we have to understand, we don't come before our Jesus with shame. If we have shame and pride in our lives, if you ask him to, he'll show you what it is so he can remove it, and you can get rid of it, and you can refuse it. You can refuse shame. You can refuse pride. You can refuse fear.
Well, you ask for forgiveness, anything you have shame over. You ask the Lord to forgive you, and he's quick to do that.
He is.
And
he's
then quick. You go free.
He's quick to point it out to you if you don't know. There was a lot of things that I didn't know I had in my life. There's hiding, as Psalm 19:12 says.
Ask him. Oh.
But I asked him to show me. I prayed Psalm 19:12. We read it the other day. I asked him to show me, and he began to point out things. Well, two days ago, he pointed out some fear I had in my life, and it surprised me. We talked about that Monday and Tuesday. But he will save you from yourself, save you from the enemy, save you from others. He is our Savior.
Yes.
And so in our talk about being free,
He has saved us, actually. All we do is receive what He did.
And listen to what He says, because what we read yesterday in Hebrews 2 is, He is the perfect Savior to walk you through what you're going through.
Amen.
He knows. He's already paid the price, and He was already tempted, the Bible says, just like you. So He's perfect. He's perfect to lead us through.
Amen.
Sometimes people look at His perfection, and that means there's a big gap between He's so perfect and I'm so not. But we don't need to look at it. We need to look at it the way He put it out there. His perfection is for us. His perfection is available to us to walk through in His perfection, not our own. So when we're imperfect, that's no surprise to Him. That's no surprise to your family. So, you know, if you just go with the flow of the Holy Ghost, He will move you through imperfections into victory. And He'll take you from fear into faith.
Praise
but
God.
He's the one we're looking at to show us what to do, show us where fear is hiding, and diagnose it for us. So, you know, many times, if you look at, like, when the disciples were in the boat, and Jesus fell asleep in the boat, and the storm came up, and they were afraid, they came to Jesus, and they didn't even, I'm trying to think, I don't have it open in front of me, but I don't even think they asked Him for help. How many times do we gripe at God, and we're not even asking for help? That is the probably the epitome of not going to Him in faith, is to just go complain and not ask for help. You know, at least, I guess in some way, at least Martha was asking for help. But the disciples were like, woke Him up and just said, don't you care that we're going to die? That's not even who He is or what He's there for. And so He diagnosed them as being without faith.
Yeah.
And He said,
oh, you little.
Where, yeah, which is kind of the same. And you look at that and you see He didn't mention it, but they were filled with fear. So much so, they could not look to Him for the answer. And He said they were without faith. So that's a good example of fear tolerated is faith contaminated. They could not walk in faith. I told you a story this week about my daughter Lindsay when she was sick. And I knew I needed to say some stuff. I mean, I've been raised in this long enough to know when trouble comes, you got to use your words. Our words are creative, and they were given to us by God. Our creative ability with our words to speak what we want. Well, that ability is there whether you're speaking bad or good. When we speak, it brings things to us. It summons things
or
to us.
It pushes away.
Or it pushes
whatever
away.
Whatever you say.
You know, if you say, well, I'm sick, then that's pulling that in. If you say I'm healed, that's pulling that in.
I'm healed.
God made us that way after His own image. And so I knew I needed to say stuff. And I knew it was in there, but I was just like having this trouble pulling it out because of fear. So where there is fear, your faith is contaminated and it just won't work. And so in that situation, Jesus diagnosed him as having no fear. And actually, I think it's the Amplified that says, where is your confidence in me? They had no confidence in Him. They had no confidence in the fact that He said, go to the other side. They had, and He said, where is your confidence in me and in my veracity? And Mom, that word means in my inability to lie.
Truth.
So, you know, we have people always say, well, I want a word from God. You know, there's nothing that these words won't fix.
That's the truth.
You really don't even need another word from Him. He gave it all right here. But fear will shut those things down. Fear will keep you from looking at the Word. Fear will keep you, like it did the disciples, from looking at Jesus.
Yeah.
So, but Jesus diagnosed that. And right here, He diagnoses Mary. Martha. I guess He diagnoses Mary, too, because she was doing the right thing. But let's see what He says here to Martha.
Where are you?
This is Luke 10:38. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed Him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what He taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. I've been there. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come help me." So she's concerned that this is unfair. You know, we're talking today about the fear of being mistreated. That was her fear. It's unfair. I'm mistreated. And really, whether you are or not, sometimes people are mistreated. But the answer is still the same. If you look at the mistreatment, if you look at the problem, if you look at God changed that person, even if that person's wrong, Mom, the best thing to do is just look to Him. And He will change you. And the best standing that you have to pray for someone else is to first say, "Jesus, change me." I had that thought the other day. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Like, you know, when they talk about a lawsuit or something and they talk about standing, like if you want to sue somebody because they're doing something and you're not connected to that, you have no standing to come against that person. If you want to sue the state of Oklahoma, but you don't live in the state of Oklahoma, you don't have interest in the state of Oklahoma, you have no standing to bring a suit against them.
Well, you're a good lawyer.
Well, yeah. That's about the extent of my lawyerliness. So I am not, this is not offering lawyer advice. So no legal advice offered here. But in this, the best standing for you to pray for someone else is to first pray for the Lord to change you. Then when you pray, I was thinking about this, that it's totally off topic, I think, but maybe it's not. I was thinking the other day that when someone who has been hurt by another person, and they've hurt you, they really have, and they really, you have good reason to have felt hurt, but you've taken it to the Lord instead of being angry, that person who will forgive and then pray for that person, I had this thought the other day. I believe there is a power in that prayer because it's based on the sheerest form of love, to pray for your enemy.
Mm-hmm.
There is a power in that prayer to bring such change to both parties' lives. And the most powerful prayer, one of the most powerful prayers, is when someone has hurt you and you forgive them and you pray earnestly in love for them to be helped. And it's hard to pray that without letting God change you first. So that gives you a lot of standing to get your prayers answered. And actually, you see that in the Word of God. In John, Jesus said, you know, "Greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends." And he's talking about, he just got through talking about walking in love. And he's saying, "You're my friend if you do what I say." What's he saying? No greater love. He's not talking about his own love. He's talking about your love, that love that you will just walk in love because He told you to. There's no greater love than that. And He says, ask what you will. Isn't that powerful?
That's good.
If
yeah.
you are a person that'll just love because Jesus told you to, it's not comfortable, it's not fun, it's not easy, but Jesus told you to and He's going to help you do it. It says, ask what you will and it'll be done for you of my Father in heaven. Isn't that good?
That's good. Really good.
So here she is. It says, this is the Amplified. She had a sister named Mary who seated herself at the Lord's feet and was continually listening to His teaching. But Martha was very busy and distracted with all of her serving responsibilities. And she approached Him and said, "Lord, is it of no concern to you that my sister has left me to do the serving alone?"
Can you imagine correcting Jesus over somebody not helping you do the dishes?
Well, yes. I can actually. Lord, make my kids help me do the dishes. So I probably shouldn't judge Martha here. Tell her to help me and do her part.
Yeah.
But the Lord replied to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried." See, she thought her problem was, nobody's helping me, and my sister is not helping me. I mean, we've all had those feelings about brother, sister, kids, spouse, friends. "You're worried and bothered and anxious about so many things." So he diagnosed her not just about the dishes or the food or the people in her house. He said, "You're worried and bothered and anxious about so many things." And you know what? Maybe Martha had a lot. Maybe Mary had a lot on her mind, too. Maybe she was concerned about many things. But in her sitting at his feet, she was getting the answer to what her concerns were.
That's good. That's right.
Martha, you know, and it's. I think it's wrong to say you shouldn't serve. I mean, obviously, there's times when we have to get stuff done. So the answer is not the comparison between Mary just sitting and listening and Martha working. That's not the point. The point was Mary positioned herself to hear what he was saying. Martha could have been doing what she was doing in the same vein, in the same heart, in the same attitude to serve Jesus. See, right there in that moment, her attitude was serving herself. And that's what he diagnosed was, you've got fear. You're worried and bothered and anxious about so many things. But only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part. And it says in the Amplified, Mom, that which is to her advantage. And it will not be taken away from her. Isn't that good?
Praise God.
It says, let's look again at what she chose. She seated herself at the Lord's feet. Now, you can do your chores all day long from the Lord's feet. Seated at his feet. We're not going to fear. You can do your work. You know, a lot of times at work, you have things come up. You have situations come up. You have employees to take care of. You've got bosses to deal with. And it can get overwhelming. It can feel like, I don't know how I'm going to get everything done for everybody that is in my circle that I have to deal with. Well, that's fear. And it's important that you diagnose it as such. And then you rebuke the fear and sit at his feet. So do you take the time? Mom, maybe in the next broadcast you can talk a little bit about, you know, it's important to take the time and sit at his feet.
Oh, yeah.
To worship him, to read the word, to put those things in. It's just critical to our lives.
It's absolutely critical.
And we'll just see law over that.
Christ.
Because you can make all the excuses in the world. But if you're not giving Jesus the time and sitting at his feet,
that's right.
You are going to have cares and fears and worries that are not addressed.
That's
you
right.
are not going to have his assistance. And he's there. Really, he's done everything that needs to be done and can be done.
But the receiving, and that's our part.
We have to
receive what he says and take it, put it in our lives. Hallelujah.
Amen.
By faith. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Kelly's with us today, and she's going to be sharing the Word of God. Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you, Mom.
You're a chip off the old block.
Two blocks.
A couple of blocks.
Yeah, it's an honor to be a chip off of y'all. Y'all aren't too old anyway. Y'all don't look old, so that's good, too.
Thank you very much.
But it's an honor to be in this family. And I was thinking the other day how blessed I am that I grew up knowing how to walk and live by faith.
Oh, we are blessed in that area. That's awesome.
Knowing how to stand against fear. I mean, there has been just this zero tolerance for fear.
That's right.
You know, I was, I told them the story this week about I refused to fear. That's what I said when my daughter was sick and God healed her. And that was key to her deliverance. But I've just always had this, you know, I mean, Dad would say, well, we don't tolerate fear. Don't be afraid. And that was a command from the Lord. And I just grew up thinking, no, you know, absolutely no fear. So I would, of course, I've had moments and I've had opportunities and I've had fears that lodged down deep inside of me that Jesus had to diagnose. But once I knew they were there,
you dumped it.
I'm done.
That's right.
So I remember this time, Mom, we were at camp, at Super Kid Camp. I was not a camp child. I was a camp grown up. In fact, I was heading the camp, so it wasn't that long ago, maybe 7 years ago, maybe eight. And there was this ropes course that we were taking the counselors to. So the little kids weren't there yet. We were just doing some team building with the counselors. And there was this ropes course and rock climbing walls and all that. So there's this one post, 25 or so feet tall, with a wooden platform at the top about this big. And you're supposed to climb up there. Of course, you had a harness on, but somehow it's just hard to remember that you have a harness on as you're climbing way up there. Somehow you get up there, you sit down, and then somehow you've got to get your feet where your rear end was and stand up. Well, that in itself didn't look like fun to me. But then on top of that, the pole, when you're up on it, I'm watching people on it, and it just sways like this. And then the people are supposed to jump out and grab a line that's out in front of them, and then you come down. You come down safely. Well, I looked at that, and I had this thought. I am not doing that.
I had no idea camp was so traumatic.
Well... Everything, if you allow fear in, it's going to lead to dramatic some way or other. So I was just like, I'm not doing that. And I mean, it came up from the inside of me. I thought, now I have to. I don't want to do it, and I'm afraid of it, so now I have to do it. Because fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Here I am about to teach these kids how to walk and live by faith, and I'm afraid of a pole. So I took authority over myself, took authority over the fear. You know, I mean, you can look, there's a lot of words that are disguised as disguise your feelings as fear, but they're fear, but they're disguised as concern, wisdom. Wisdom gets tagged a lot for being fear. I mean, fear gets tagged as being wisdom. Like, oh, well, it's wisdom not to get up on that pole. Well, that may be, but it was fear that day keeping me from it. So, concern, worry, well, I just have a lot of things on my mind. Well, that's fear, and it's carrying the care. And when we see it, we have to, I guess that's the crux of what we've been saying this week, is to be free, live a life free of it. You've got to resist it. The word says resist the devil. First, it says submit to God.
Yeah.
Resist the devil, and he will flee. So, when you see fear like that, it is Satan's hook. It's like a fisherman casting a hook, and the fish grabs it. The fisherman's got him. And that is what fear is. It's
fear
a
hook.
Fear
gives Satan place the way faith gives God place.
It does.
And you get to choose.
You choose, yeah.
But so you that get day, rid of fear by the Word of God,
yeah,
and by resisting fear, but then also get rid of it by the Word. What does the Word say about the sickness that they've told me that is, it's incurable? Well, the scripture says that every sickness and every disease is under the curse and that we've been redeemed from the curse. So if you don't know those words, you can't turn to them. You got to know what the Bible says in order to live free.
So putting the word in.
And that's what the scripture says. You'll know the truth and truth will make you free. But you have to use it.
You have to know it, yep. And you have to use it, and you have to keep that daily. That daily word coming in your heart.
Second
Timothy 4 talks about what's in us and putting it in. It's renewed day by day. Let me finish my story, and then I want you to talk about putting the word in, because you're the most masterful, committed word putter inner that I have ever known. This woman loves the word like breathing, and because of that, you don't operate in fear.
No,
and when
no.
you see it, you cast it out. And I learned it from y'all. So that day at camp, I got my harness on. I climbed up that 25-foot pole. Somehow, I don't know how, I got my feet where my rear end was. And I'm standing up there. And, Mom, the whole pole was doing like this. And I'm moving. And I got to jump out. And I'm not, I don't know if you can tell, but I'm not that tall. I know you can't tell here, but... You could say I was vertically challenged, but I'm not that short. But I am not very tall. At that moment, I was vertically challenged because you got to jump out and grab a line. And I thought, there's no way. I'm too short to jump that far to grab that line. So you know what I did? I stood up there. I took authority over fear, and I did a perfect swan dive into nothing.
Kelly,
I could reach the line, but I had a harness on. And I knew that harness would keep me.
I'm not letting you go to camp anymore.
I knew that that harness, see, when we're in fear, it's so irrational. That was irrational in that moment because I had a harness on and there were people, strong guys there holding the lines of the harness. I knew I was okay, but I was still had fear. So fear is not rational. Mm. In fact, it's more dangerous when it's irrational because you can't go talk your way through it when you're just, it's just irrational fear that you've received from the devil. And but that day, it is a spirit that comes. It's the word of Satan that comes. You know, the Bible talks about that word of faith that we receive. Well, that's the word of fear that Satan delivers. And if you receive it, it will ruin and crash your life. It will give him every open door. So anyway, long story shorter, I did a dive. The harness caught me and I was fine. But we have a harness. His name is Jesus. We have angels, the blood, the word. Jesus will fix it if we screw it up.
We have a parachute.
We have a parachute of the highest order.
Amen.
And the more aware we are of his word, the more aware of his love for us, the more aware. I mean, if you have a lot of fear, maybe just start in the book of John where he just talks about how much he loves you. You know, or the first, second, third John, how much he loves you. Mom, it's critical to have that in your heart when those moments come, and it's critical to let him diagnose you with that fear. If it's there, he'll show you. And his word, the Bible says in 2 Timothy that his word shows us what's wrong with our lives. So if you're not putting the word in, you're missing a huge weapon.
Well, it gives light. The word gives light. You take the word in your eyes, in your ears, and it gets down in your heart. And it gives you light, and it says, this is right, this is righteous, this is unrighteous. Choose righteous. We can do that. You have to know what the Bible says and obey it. And when you do, things work for you. You got faith to deal with whatever comes up, and you don't have any condemnation because you were disobedient. That's important. In Jesus' name, we just have to live free in the Word of God.
You can't do it without the word.
No, you can't. Don't even try.
So everybody thinks, oh, I'm so busy. I'd love to do that, but I'm just so busy. Well, you know, I'm sure we all think we're busy.
Everybody's busy.
Everybody's busy. But tell about when you made that decision, you didn't try to make that decision and fit it in your day. You changed your day.
I put the word first in order to spend time in it. And it changed me, it changed my life, and it's still changing my life. The Word of God is the truth. The Bible says the truth will make you free. If you want to be free, this is the way to do it.
That's
glory
nice.
To God.
You know, I've loved watching you over the years because I was probably a teenager, I'm guessing, when you made that decision to pray an hour and spend time in the Word every day. Mm-hmm. And I would see you, if you had to be somewhere early in the morning, then you would get up earlier. You'd get up at 4 o'clock sometimes in the morning just to be able to, you put the priority on spending that time with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And those things are in you, still speaking to you, and you consistently.
It changed my life.
Constantly feed your heart, feed your spirit. I mean,
amen.
We know, I mean, I don't go too long without feeding my body.
That's right.
Because my body says, we need some food, like about right now. I'm wanting some food because I haven't eaten in a while. Well, you can get so filled with the word that your spirit goes, your soul begins to yearn for that word to fill it up.
Praise
like
God.
A dry place.
Praise God.
And I've just enjoyed watching you live your
difference.
Life like that.
Well, thank you, Kelly. That honors me. I appreciate it.
There's a woman, I really have taught so much about her, and even when I think I've heard everything about her, then the Lord shows me more, is the woman at the well. And she, you might say, well, she doesn't really exhibit fear, but she exhibits, I think she does. Shame is fear. Shame mm-hmm. is fear of repercussion for whatever people are going to think. And she had so much shame and fear of people that she came to the well when nobody was there.
And the time to do that is in the middle of the day when everybody's at lunch or at home and they're not at the well in the middle of the day. I believe because of the shame that she had because of her life.
Hmm.
So sometimes fear comes from the things you're actually literally doing, and you're setting yourself up for Satan to take you down because of the way you're living your life. But this woman at the well, she got in conversation with Jesus. We talked about letting Jesus diagnose you. Man, don't stop with fear. Let him diagnose you for pride or shame or any kind of other thing. Let him diagnose you for hatred or laziness or unkindness or gossip, any of it. He's ready. You know, we've talked a lot about correction. And this is just a time of cleaning up. It's an awakening time, Mom. Miracles. We are headed for the most amazing miracles,
Lord,
we've ever seen. We are headed to harvest time. We are headed to some things in God that we've never seen. But, you know, I was thinking the other day we were talking about an awakening, which it's time. It's coming. And revival. In every church, we're already seeing it. In the places that we go and, you know, in our own lives, we're seeing this awakening. And I was thinking about the other day when a clock, you set your clock to wake up in the morning, and it wakes you up, this clock. And what's the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning? I mean, for me, you might say, well, I go get my coffee. Well, that's still part of waking up, so that doesn't count. But when you first wake up and you get your coffee and you really wake up, you start cleaning up. And that's what's going on in the body of Christ right now. We're awakening to God's love. We're awakening to His presence. We're starting to clean up our lives because He's pointing things out to us.
Yes, amen.
And when we become awake to Him and His words and His love, primarily, He's awakening us to His love. He's awakening His body to His love. And when we become aware, we start hearing Him say, you need to get rid of this. You need to get rid of fear. You need to get rid of shame. You need to get rid of pride. You need to clean this stuff out of your life. Well, that day when He was talking to her at the well, I don't know if, go back and read it. We're not going to turn there today, but he kept asking her questions. He would ask her question, and he kept talking to her until he could get her to ask for the thing that he needed. He led her to the right words to say. And we're going to talk about that some next week. There's a scripture that talks about He'll give you the words and the wisdom to say. Mm-hmm. And He led her to the place where she asked for living water. Now, she's thinking one thing, but He is thinking another. And all He needed was her asking for something. And so He says to her, I mean, she says, yes, give me that living water. She's thinking, man, this living water, then I don't have to come back to this well ever again. I don't have to come face those bitty old women that just criticize me for my life or they look down on me. And I don't have to come here during the hottest part of the day to get my water. So, yes, give me that eternal living water. But that wasn't what He was talking about. And we know from the Word of God that He changed her life. I'm not sure it even says everything that He said to her. I don't think it's recorded, but because He didn't say that much to her. But she left there saying to her village, come talk to a man. Come look at a man that told me everything I ever did.
She kind of stressed it a little bit, didn't she?
Well, I don't know. We don't know we don't know what all He said to her, but she looked at Him and it's like, wow, you're a prophet, you know? But what did He so graciously offered Himself to her? But her part of it was to receive what He was saying.
That's right.
Her part of it was to receive the diagnosis. And our part of it is with Jesus to look to Him so much that we receive the diagnosis that He's making to us. Because what He said to her that day was, go get your husband. Well, He knew she didn't have a husband. But she didn't know that He knew she didn't have a husband.
That's true.
And her responses could have been, okay, you know what? Just wait right here. I'll go and get my husband. And I'll be right back. And just never show back up because of the shame. But what she did, instead of responding that way to cover her shame, she said to Him, I don't have a husband. She just got really honest with Him. And what He said to her was, you're right, you don't have a husband. And then he went on to tell her what her life was really like. And the reason that stands out to me today is we just have to let the Lord get, we just have to get honest with him. I mean, the other day when he told me I had fear about Jenny going to this, to the Middle East, which she left last night, and I got rid of the fear because Jesus pointed it out to me, and I was not afraid at all. I'm just like, move on, go. And the last time she went, I dealt with fear about her going. The Lord pointed it out to me. I dealt with it. And I barely thought, I mean, it's terrible to say, but I barely thought about her on a day-to-day basis. I just was like, think about her when she'd call or text, or I might have something. I called her, text her, how are you doing? But there were days I didn't even think about her. Sorry, Jenny. You know, not in a way that I didn't care, but in the way that I wasn't caring.
You weren't concerned.
I was not concerned.
You drove your care.
And so he's so good. When you let him diagnose you, he will show you the things to do and pray to be free. That's what he did with her. She got so free, her whole village got free. Her, you know, when you go through hard times, in Psalm 23, it talks about your cup runneth over. He will heal you to the place that you run over and you affect everybody else. But that day, she got honest with him, and he started telling her about her life, and she got free. If we will let him diagnose us with whatever, fear, shame, pride, any of those, all those are fear-based, he will tell us what to do, tell us what to say, and we can go free. And then those things are connected to so many things.
No matter how fear tries to come against you, choose faith. Overcome danger, shame, intimidation, worry, and insecurity. The Living Without Fear package declares fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Gloria Copeland takes you step by step through the scriptural process to get rid of fear and insecurity in her teaching series, Totally Protected. God has provided for your protection, deliverance, preservation, and security. Kenneth Copeland helps you transform your thinking from fear of failure to living in God's perfect love in his mini book, Love Never Fails. Expect favor and good success for your future as you trust God. Kelly Copeland shows you how to live in safety and security in her book, Protecting Your Family in Dangerous Times. Allow Jesus to show you how to be victorious over fear. Stand firm on God's promises to protect your family and start living a fear-free life today. Order the Living Without Fear package and flush fear right out of your life. This offer is available free from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Visit our website, kcm.org/TV special, or call 800-600-7395. Put away the fear of failure and live every day in the security of God's love and protection. Order the Living Without Fear package today. Offer good for 60 days.
The more aware you are of God's love for you, the stronger, more peaceful you will be. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, do it today. It's just your decision. Nobody can make it for you. Just say, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Say what I said. I said, take my life and do something with it. And what a marvelous, wonderful life he has given me. Just because I put it in his hands, that's all you have to do. If you prayed that prayer, Jesus took you in. You got born over again. You're not the same old person on the inside. You're what the Bible calls a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Love's inside of you. Your new spirit's inside of you. Now you learn how to yield to that, to the Holy Spirit and to your new spirit. And we want to help you do that. So we have the salvation package, a book and two brochures. A book, he did it all for you, what Jesus did on the cross, two brochures, one on how to read the Bible, how to study your Bible. Let us know if you got born again today, and we want to rejoice with you.
50 years of revelation, 50 years of anointed meetings, 50 years of lives changed, culminating at one huge week-long event. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is celebrating 50 years of ministry, and there's no better place to celebrate with us than the Southwest Believers Convention in Fort Worth, Texas. With new dates, July 30th through August 5th, Start the week off with powerful worship from the One Worship Team. Join the Copelands, Jesse Duplantis, Jerry Savelle, Creflo Dollar, Bill Winston, and Keith Moore for life-changing messages from the Word of God. Come early to the morning and evening sessions for pre-service prayer with Terry Copeland Pearson's. Healing School is Saturday. Come with expectancy. Bring the whole family. Children and youth services are going on all week. The 2017 Southwest Believers Convention. Register today at kcm.org/swbc17.
You know, Mom, we have a friend that we're about to see a feature. I love Denise Renner. Her heart is so precious. But she let Jesus point out some things to her. You're going to see in this testimony. Jesus pointed out some things to her, and she received forgiveness and deliverance, and she didn't even know how her freedom was connected to it. Watch this. You're going to enjoy this.
I'd be driving to work, and I heard this man singing, and I loved his voice. And of course, it was so exhortive. I was just so excited. And so he began to preach about, by his stripes you're healed. Well, I'd been a Christian for a long, long, long time. I loved Jesus with all my heart, but I had had cystic acne since I was 12. And it was all my neck, was all my cheeks, and it was in my forehead. And it was painful. It was unattractive and embarrassing. And I'd been to doctors, I'd had dry eyes, I'd taken antibiotics, I had done everything that they told me to do, and I was like the woman with the issue of blood. I had been to the doctors, I'd spent my money, but I just grew worse, you know? And so I'm listening on the radio, this is in 1978, listening on the radio, and I hear that by the stripes of Jesus, you're healed, Isaiah 53. And it was the first time I ever heard that scripture. And having a disease for 13 years, you think, well, this is pretty settled. I'm going to have this for a long, long time. And when I heard that, hope came into my heart. And I thought, do you mean that it could be possible that I could be healed for me? And so I began to do what, you know, Brother Copeland said, was to confess the word. So I would look in the mirror and it was pretty bad. And I would say, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. And I'd sing, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed, you know. And I would say it and sing it all the time. So this went on, and then I didn't see any change. And I was listening to another radio preacher one day, and it was a woman, but the Holy Ghost was speaking through her voice. And she said, do you really want to be healed? Well, when she said that, it was like I was exposed to what was inside of my soul. And because I got attention from my mom taking me to the doctor, buying me medicine, she felt sorry for me, really, because it was so bad. I got attention from my mom. And when she said, do you really want to be healed? It exposed that love for self-pity. And at that moment, I repented. And I said, Lord, I want to be healed. And I kept confessing the word. Of course, I was listening to Brother Copeland every day, and I kept confessing the word. One night I went to bed, just like I had for 13 years, with cystic acne on my face. And I woke up the next morning, and I went to the mirror, which is what I always did. And I went to the mirror, and absolutely every single thing on my neck, my cheeks, my forehead was all gone, every bit. And I was completely healed. You know, a few years more went by, and every time I would sing, it was like I had to push through so much, like there was an invisible ceiling hanging over my head. And I really didn't know what that was. I couldn't say what that was. And I went to these people's house and just to you know, just to be with them and pray. And so this one man, he prayed for me that night. I had never fallen out in the spirit. I was on the ground, I was on the floor, on the carpet for 2 hours. I could not get up. And the Holy Spirit was just all over me. And while I was on the carpet, he let me see myself in junior high, in high school, in college, as an adult. And he let me see myself that I was as good as everybody else around me. Because I always felt less than everybody else because of my face. And in that place of prayer, in those 2 hours, he absolutely delivered me from shame. And it changed my life.
Oh, I just love Denise, and I love that story. She has such sweetness, but she's so bold. It's like she just knows who she is in Jesus and that he has wrapped his arm around her, gotten rid of shame in her, fear, all of that. Well, that can be your story, too.
That's right. If you want to get rid of something, you look at it head on and you say, I'm through with you. If you want to get rid of shame, if you want to get rid of doubt, if you want to get rid of doubts, you have to get in the Word. If you want to get rid of shame, you stare at the face of it and you say, I'm not having you. Jesus redeemed me from the curse of shame, and I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. And you take that position that I've been forgiven. I'm not that same old creature I was. Jesus has made me new. And that's just the way it is. And I'm taking my salvation today in that area in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That's praise the Lord.
Yeah,
thank you, Lord. Go free.
Somebody
go free.
Just got
go
free right now.
Thank you, Lord.
Heard the Lord say.
Today's offering day, and we want to pray over your offering. We want to pray over your finances, that you increase. Father, in the name of Jesus, Kelly and I pray for all of the people, and those, especially those that entered into the offering today. We believe for them and for all the others. We believe for them to receive, to reap, to be made whole financially and in every way, to be healed, to be delivered. The blessing comes on us to make us complete and finished and everything good. Hallelujah. So when you pray over your offering today, just receive whatever you need. Lord, I pray over this offering. I sow it in the name of Jesus. I believe for the return, and I believe I'm prospering, or I believe I have the job that I need, or I believe that I'm healed. And what do? You take that healing. That's faith. Faith takes it. So thank you, partners, for your prayers and support. We're ministering the gospel all over the world, you and Kelly and Ken and me, hallelujah, and all the rest of the team here, all the way around the world. Get in a good church this weekend. Find one that preaches you the Word of God, and let the Word strengthen you from the inside out. We'll see you again Monday. This is Gloria and Kelly reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for your faithful support. Now you can text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609. Expect the fabulous outpourings from heaven this year. Text to give is available in the U.S. only.